Here we go, gentlemen.
We are now in the beginning of the 13th chapter in Hilchos Maaser, Halacha Aleph. We're now going to discuss exceptions to demai, where you don't have to worry about the demai by an amoritz, and we're going to be discussing two different areas. One is the area of it, being hefker. The second one is things coming from chutz la'aretz. That's the general ideas, and we'll explore details of that. Okay, the first couple halachas are fairly straightforward and fairly easy. It's just going to give examples of things that would be hefker anyway, and even if he sells it to you, the basic idea of an amoritz sells you these certain products, we know that he got them from hefker. There's no trumas and meisers. So even if there's a question of demai, did he separate it? The truth of the matter is, even if he told you he didn't and they're not separated, there's no halachas of trumas and meisers anyway on it. And that's most of what's coming up in the next, with just different ways of determining that they're hefker and therefore they're not chayiv and trumas and meisers.
So this expression would be like the Dudaim?
Yes. Aleph.
Do you read them?
Yeah, peros shecheskosa mina hefker, fruits that we presume that they are hefker. And here comes a whole list of food types. Kigon, hashitim. Shitim are inferior figs that people, if they're in your crop, you don't want them. You're just leaving them, and you don't care about them. Veharimin. Rimin is a type of a bush that grows an inferior type of fruit. I don't have exactly what it's called. What do you got? No, not Rimon.
Brush berries.
Now that's much clearer now, okay? Veha'uz radin. Those are supposed to be hawthorns, whatever those are.
Thorn apples,
okay. Ubenos shuach. It's a type of white figs that only give every 3 years. So again, it's inferior quality. Ubenos shikma and sycamore berries. Veha'gofanim. And in an inferior type of dill. Vinovlos tamara, and dates that have fallen off, the wind blew them off before they ripened. V'hein shadayin lo hitilu se'or, they have not, so to speak, leavened. What it means to say, they haven't plumpified. In other words, they just came off early and they're dried out and they're not, you know, not robust. V'hanitzpa, and a caper bush. V'hakuspar, and coriander. V'kayos, and similar things like that, all peturin minad mai. They don't have to worry of demai, but really it's not minat demai, really, because even if it be vadai, it's potter.
Yeah.
So if an amoritz sells you, and you don't know if he's separated, don't worry about it, because you don't have to separate on it. The main idea of an amoritz sells you these items, you don't have to worry about asking, have they been separated, you don't have to worry about it. And you buy it from an amoritz, you don't have to separate anything. Because number one, it doesn't need to be separated anyway. Mipnei shechaskosin, because we assume they're mina hefker. They're hefker. Even if the amoritz says, listen, here's some dill, but I want to tell you, I didn't separate you. Could be the amoritz is an amoritz. He thinks maybe you have to, but he didn't. You know what I mean?
There's no law.
It's a double law.
Because I just want you to know, I didn't separate any trumas. Now, be interesting. I mean, he technically could give.
You could give.
What if a guy took some dill and gave it to a kohen? It would be truma. I mean, if the kohen wanted
it. It would be truma.
He gave it to him, and he gave it to him. The kohen's usually meichel it. Usually, you don't have to give it to him. What? You don't have to give him dill because the kohen doesn't need it. Right, that, it, no one's interested, but if he gives it to the coin wants it, it would be truma.
So he needed them.
Maybe. I don't know.
But it would never have to be separate in the first place.
I'm just trying to give you a scenario. Trying to where the amoritz is trying to tell you. I just want you to know I didn't meister it. So we're saying, why is he saying the amoritz achayev? The answer is in an amoritz. Amoritz figures. A lot of times people don't know anything. They think, you know, you're not allowed to flush a toilet on Shabbos. You know, if you want to be religious, they probably figure religious people don't flush toilets. You know.
Really.
When we were about 10 years ago, when we went to that retreat, the Christie Mill retreat, I don't know if you remember that one. So this is the first time they had a real Jewish group, so we, you know, left the lights on, this and that. So they came right before Shabbos was over. We kind of mentioned them that, you know, they were afraid that we weren't going to flush the toilets the whole Shabbos. They didn't know. They figured if we don't turn the lights on, we don't flush the toilets. Guy comes to me before Shabbos, I just want you to know, we can have a major disaster. 30 rooms going to flush the toilet for the first time one day. Boom. It's gonna, I said, don't worry. We flushed the whole Shabbos. You don't got to worry. I'm just saying, and Amoretz thinks, you know, he'll make chumras that don't exist. So he'll think, okay, here's the dill. I want you to know I gave truma on the dill, but I didn't give meiser on it. Okay, thank you. Don't have to worry. You didn't have to do any of that to begin with. So they're peturim. Now, there's one difference, though. Harel peturim. Mina my ad. Shiva dan let's known. Shein mina shomer. That it's something that people, it's a place where most people value it. It's the dill capital of the world. Or it's a caper bush festival. So this is a place, well, they like caper bushes. Nobody else does, but they like it. If it's a place where people value it, then it's not hefker, and then it's chayiv and trumas and maestras. So you'd have to know that. There'll be examples of that coming up. But
it was still, you know, ownerless.
No, it's not. It's only ownerless because people don't want it. But if you're in a place, that's a very poor place. You know, certain foods, you know, we won't eat, right? I don't know when they come to hand. They're really low quality. You're not going to eat it, right? I don't know, grits.
Crab apples. Please.
Crab apples. Are you going to eat a crab apple?
No.
But if you're in Biafra, it's a luxury. So in Biafra, whatever, I'm just saying, crab apples is maybe the main staple. So that's why it's not hefker, because people value it. Rambam is giving a generic rule. These types of fruits, people generally
don't.
Shelley thought
you were declaring it.
You don't have to declare it.
No,
you don't have to declare it. It's assumed to be hefker.
Nobody wants it. And there's these wild berry trees. And they're just on.
Well, that's hefker anyway, because nobody owns it. We're talking about they're growing in your field, Shelley. You are the owner of them. And now, you know.
Nobody wants it. But you assume they're equivalent to hefker.
Because it's, they have no value to you.
Why would the Roman just say these have no value?
He did. He said right away, first words, Peiro shechazkosin mina hefker. They're assumed to be hefker. Why? Because they have no value for us.
But some of them, like
a farmer, in the Rambam's days, these things did not have value.
Well, I know,
in those days,
that.
Coriander's junk. Now we're making a big spice. In those days, they didn't.
That's my point. He doesn't say, at least in English, he doesn't say. We assume they're ownerless because they have no value.
You see that from the last line. They're patronized until we know that they're watched.
Yeah, so you got to get to the bottom to figure out.
Okay, so we're learning the whole. That's why I can tell you in advance, because I know the end. So now you know what the beginning is. You're right. Your question's a great question. So the last line. And the last line tells us Lemafreya.
Roy, why doesn't he say
that? No, he's very brilliant. He wants to learn the whole thing.
He always does.
We've seen
has the ever made it easy for us yet, Shelley?
Yeah, exactly.
No. Okay, base. Now we're going to talk about these fruits are inherently good fruits, but the situation creates them to be ownerless. What do we mean? Habakuros, fruits that ripen early. When you're growing fruits, generally we'll make a bell-shaped curve. We'll say the vast, vast, vast majority of fruits are ripening in this period of time. Let's say whatever, a month, 2 months. This is the time they're really ripening. That's the time you're going to pay a security system, a guy, a security guard, to stay there so people don't rob you. Because there's a lot of ripe fruits. However, at the bottom of the bell-shaped curve, let's say 2 weeks, 3 weeks before, a couple of fruits have ripened. They're really ripe. But let's be honest. Are you going to hire a security guard to watch 12 ripe apples? It's going to cost you more money to pay the security guard than what they're worth. So now you're going to let them grow, knowing that people are just going to walk in and steal them. And at the end of the season, when you've collected everything, but there were a few you didn't pick because they weren't ripe, and they ripen at the other end of the bell-shaped curve, they're ripening. You know, you already called the security guards, went home already for the season. So we're saying these at the time, at this point in the bell-shaped curve, these are perfectly good ripe fruits.
So it's the top five and bottom five.
Whatever. Before you're sending in the security guards and after they've left. Mm-hmm. And you have great fruits over there. The guy made it hefker because he's not, you know, people are just going to come
still
in.
Still theft, though.
That doesn't matter. He's made them hefker. If he's not paying anybody to watch it,
right.
They're hefker. So we're
he has no obligation to do Truma Miser on those that are hefker.
Well, if nobody takes them, and then he will harvest them later, he would.
He does, but
somebody took it, and it's ended up on the market or whatever. Anyway, it's too early for these things to jump be ripe, and you got a few ripe ones hanging around the market. Whatever the situation, you could tell the guy doesn't mind. If he really cared about them, he'd have his guard there. So there, Rabbi Kuras, the early ripened fruits, vasiyafos, and the ones that are the late ones, shebabika, that are in the valley, not your private garden. Now we're talking about the valley. You have lands far away. You're not going to be over there now. You're going to wait till later. Now valley is like wide open. It doesn't have fences. It's the Ponderosa, way in the hinterland there. It's got lots of orchards, right? And you know, May 1st, you're sending the guards there, and they're going to watch the 99% of the stuff for the next month. So whatever's going to be before, you give up hope on it. You know, whatever, you just let it go. So even an animal might eat it. Your guards will chase away the animals. Listen, if they want to eat a ripe fruit, they're welcome to it. As far as I'm concerned, I don't want it. So anyway, Pitur Mina Dmai, they're putter from Dmai, because in effect you made them have good, but that's only when they're in the valleys. However, Ushabagina, but if it's in your private garden, where you're just looking behind the garden, and you just say, get out of here, mister, right. Then Chayom Verchay, because you were not Miyayish on it, and you weren't Mafker it, and therefore you'd have to tie them, if Nation Shon, because they're watched. We always come back to that rule. Are they watched? Do they have a value? Ve'eluhena bakuros, and these are the type of sampling of these early ripened fruits, which basically means kol ha'pero shebikru, any fruits that have ripened, anshalo shivu shomer albiko, before you've placed a security guard in the valley, lishmor periseo, to watch the fruits, because it's so little, it's not worth the time for the watch. Pay to watcher. Vasiyafos, what's the siyafos mean? Hena perish yisharachashi yikaplu hamaktsos. It's the fruits that grow, that remain after they fold up the mats. Meaning those are the mats that they place the figs to dry out on. First they pluck them, dry them out on mats in the fields, and then when they're finished drying out and they rolled up the mats, so there might be a few more figs that fall. That's not my concern. Shabbasaras are in the fields. Ve'anichem, you leave them below Shomer without a guardian. So that's like you were miyayish on it. You made them hefker. Similarly, v'chein hachometz ha'osi min ha'tmadim, a type of vinegar drink that's made from tmadim. We already said tmadim is the grape rinds. The grape rinds. And you pour water over them. That's called temed. I don't know what the English calls it. Raisin water? I don't know what the English is going to call temed. I don't know. What is the English? Dregs? Okay, dregs.
Wine dregs.
So the vinegar that comes out of the wine dregs, putter may not dmai. It's putter from dmai, even if you know for sure, because that's something that people are not that particular about. Okay, that is the two halachas dealing with hefker. Now we're going to move on to location issues.
It's also called date vinegar, by the way.
Okay, fine. Now, gimel. Now, on which crops, in which area of the world, did the rabbis make the decree of Demai? Obviously, where the Chiyuv is much stronger, as opposed to being much less stronger. So, Kishagazra al-Demai, when the rabbis made the decree on Demai, they only made on the following region of Eretz Yisrael, because there the mitzvah was stronger, as opposed to rabbinic or whatever. Only on peros ha'aretz, the fruits that grew in the land, shehechziku bo ole bavel bilvad, that the ones who ascended from Bavel in the second temple era, the lands that were repopulated after we came from Bavel, which is basically central Eretz Yisrael, is basic area. So that area, we said that once the base, first base was destroyed, the Kedusha, boom, was all gone. So what Kedusha came back, whatever we resettle, that as the part that has the Kedusha, that's the real Chiyuv Doraisa. So they put the decree of Demai, it's a Safek, right? And therefore, that Demai applied over there, and that goes how far? Shumiksiv. Ksiv is a northern border city. If you remember, we had that nightmarish Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Trumas, if you remember, when he's giving us the locations, map. Remember the map? Anyway, which is from the northern border city of Ksiv Lithvim and inside, but Uksiv Asmachus, but Ksiv is considered outside. So anything within the border of Ksiv, but not including Ksiv, That area is considered the resettled area of Israel during the Second Temple era. That's when the Chiyuv was a real, genuine Chiyuv. And now, if you have Amoratzim there, that's the decree of Demai was made on crops that grew in that area that you would buy from Amoratzim who grew them in that era of Eretz Yisrael. Number one, V'chol ha-peres ha-nimtzos mi-ksiv l'chutz, and any fruits from Ksiv and beyond the border, peturim min ha-dmai, they are putter from Dmai. There's no issue, meaning if you buy it from an Aretz, you don't have to worry about it, because first of all, it's for mostly going to be Goyim. Most of them are Goyim, and Goyim are putter from Maestris. That's the majority of people who live in that area. So we're not going to make a decree of Dmai. And if you buy from an Aretz, Shecheskos on this, and here's the assumption. I say, wait a minute. Now, just because you bought it in Ksiv, maybe a Jew from Israel put it there. So maybe it's Eretz Yisrael Dika fruits. We don't say that. Cheskos on the Peres Moksin. We assume where you found it or where it is, unless there's reason to assume otherwise. So we're saying so within the area that was reclaimed in the Second Temple area, that has the Kedusha. There's the laws of Demai. When you go to other parts of Israel that was not reclaimed, all right? So no laws of Demai over there. Most people there are Goyim, number one. Number two, we don't assume that a Jew from Israel brought his produce in there. We assume where you saw it is where it is found. Okay, now, yeah.
So, but we have to separate. And those other areas is still part of Eretz Israel, right?
Well, I'm trying to remember now. The Chiyuv, I don't...
Is there a Chiyuv to separate?
Oh, you're talking about Truma and Maisa?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
There yeah, is. But he's saying most people are Goyim. We didn't repopulate it. So we assume Goyim grew it, and Goyim don't have to give Truma and Maisa.
So we're assuming that it's not...
Not a Jew. There's a few Jews over there. We didn't repopulate it.
I know, but we didn't repopulate it.
I mean, in the first temple era, that area would have been Chayv Demai because there were Jews who lived there. But now we didn't resettle there. So even though it's part of biblical Israel, but it's not the one that has Kedusha anymore in the second temple era. So maybe if a Yid had it, maybe there'd be a Chayv Drabonin or something.
Like Syria.
All right, we'll get to Syria in a minute.
When the Raisa of a Yid had land outside of that area, but still part of Eretz Israel.
I think it's Drabonim because they didn't. I think it's only Drabonim because they didn't resettle it. The Kedusha wasn't redone. The Kedusha didn't rehappen. We didn't resettle that area. When the base measure was destroyed, all the Kedusha, the first base measure, is gone. No Kedusha.
Is that forever?
So now it'll come back. But now it's so would not. So in those the Second Temple era, it wasn't. And on top of that, mostly Goyim lived there. So we assume it came from Goyim, so there's nothing to...
No, what I'm saying now, like if the majority of the population of Jews now goes to Israel, the laws of the temple come back, no?
Eventually. We'll let the big rabbis decide that.
So, but eventually the Kedusha comes back?
When the Beis HaMikdash comes, it'll for sure be back.
No, I mean before the Beis HaMikdash comes.
We'll let the rabbis to decide that. In theory, you're right.
So...
But in Psach Halacha, we'll let big rabbis decide.
So I'll give one more question on that. So if you grew produce down in the Negev, in the ladder, somewhere like that, it wasn't part of Eretz Yisrael.
Then it's Bechlal, no biblical Chiyuv.
It's all rabbinical.
Well, it's rabbinical anyway. Nowadays, we're on the second base of Migdash.
Well, I know, but is it even rabbinical?
I'm not sure.
Down there?
What's the step down
there? I'm not sure. That might not be Eretz Yisrael. That could be Chutzlars. If that, then it's nothing.
Negev's not in Eretz Yisrael.
Elat.
Elat is not in Eretz Yisrael. Right.
So once you're past Be'er Sheva,
you're done.
You're pretty much not Eretz Yisrael anymore. That's Chutzlars. Okay, Dalet. Now, Peretz Sheyadua, fruits that were definitely sure, Shemi Peretz Ha'aretz, definitely from the core part of Eretz Yisrael, Shechzik B'Levavol. This was reclaimed. Central Israel. Okay. Afal Pishem Nim Shoz B'Suri, even though you find them in Syria, Vein Sharach Lomer, it goes without saying, Ba'aretz Sheyachziku B'Levavol Yisrael, the land that was only conquered by the first Beis HaMikdash, but not the second. In other words, this is from Yerushalayim. Okay? We know it's from Yerushalayim. And now somebody's selling it in Syria. We know it's got a stamp made in Yerushalayim, picked in Yerushalayim, produce of Hebron, right? Okay, and you find it in Syria, or you find it in northern Israel. Okay, all right. Shechzim is over that. Harei elu chayovim bidmai. Then we're worried if an Amoret sells it, because since we know it came from a place, it doesn't go off. In other words, if you know it came from Israel, and now it's not in Israel, but it is in Syria, or it is in northern Israel that was not reclaimed in the Second Temple era, but since it came from Israel, if an Amoret sells it to you, and we know it says harvested in Hebron, then you're chayovim bidmai. Because we know what the place is. You have to separate Trumas Meiser Mashen like any old Demai. Lefikach, therefore, now, certain fruits, even though it doesn't say printed, made in Hebron, we know there's certain fruits that only grow in central Israel. No matter where you find it, it's the only place it's indigenous to. And it had to have been an import, because we just know this crop does not grow in Syria and does not grow in northern Israel. Such as Hadvela Hashmena, very robust figs, right? She'en Kamoso, you'll never find such robust figs. Elabars, just in the land Shechzuko Bavel that the Jews reinstituted in Bavel. Vechein Atzmar Megdom, and the big dates. Vacharu Meshavim, and the flat carobs. Vehaorez Halovin, and the Biyosa, and the very white rice. The hakamon and the cumin hagodol, the big cumin, that we know, no matter where you see it, we know that only grows in central Israel. That's it. So therefore, mis asrin t'mai, b'chol eretz yisrael b'sir, you would give miser on anything you bought from an amaretz of that, anywhere in Israel, conquered and above and not, and also in Syria, goes without saying, but not mamish chutz la'aretz. Because we read of a different halacha, fruits of Eretz Yisrael that have gone to Chutz La'aretz are putter from Meisers. Go back to Hilchos Trumas that taught us that law. So if you take all these fruits out, you bring them to America, yeah. Theoretically. Now it depends on other factors,
yeah,
though.
Because we do.
I know, but there's other fact. But this is only demai.
Demai.
Not when you know it wasn't done. That's the problem. It's not the question of demai. We know. The Jaffa oranges is not the Mai, it's Vadai not taken. So that's the difference. Where, how far did the rabbis extend it? So if we know it was in Israel and it's in nearby, okay, they made the decree there. But if they're out of Israel, then we don't apply. Remember, it's only rabbinic law.
Jaffa oranges are in Spain now.
The Choyen Kol Kiyosmos, any other types of fruits that you know grew in Israel, even though they're not found there. Okay, now let's deal with donkey drivers again, who are moving things from places from Israel to Israel back and forth. So let's see like this. Now, the next city we're going to deal with is the city of Tzor, which in English is called Tyre. That's in the northwest Lebanon area, right up along the Mediterranean over there. That's not considered Eretz Yisrael.
Northern part of Israel, or near the border.
Yeah. Okay, now, so Chamorim, so the camel, donkey drivers, Sheviu Peris Latzor, they brought fruits into the city of Tyre. So now, and they're Amoratzim. And
now
you're
a
Jew.
Is this a Jewish town at this time?
You're just a Jew who's there. That's all. You're a Jew who's there. Chayav, you're a businessman, you know, you just like you go to Jews go to China, right?
Right.
So, and what if a guy brings fruits from coming off a boat from Israel? I don't know. Anyway, Chayav and Bidmai, it's Chayav, you're not sure about it. Why? Shechazkos and the Chazaka is, Me Haaret Shechziko Ole Bavel, Sheakrova, we assume it came from the land that the Jews who came back from Bavel settled it. And since it's close by, and it came on a caravan. Now the question is, like, where did this come from? Well, it either came from local producers that's outside of Eretz Yisrael, or it came from a caravan coming from Israel. Okay, so if the donkey drivers are bringing these things into Tyre, then and they're Amoratzim, we assume that they came from Eretz Yisrael, that's close by, and that's the assumption because it was with a caravan. Caravans don't make short trips. They make long trips. since a caravan, you see a caravan coming from the south, and it's coming into the city of Tyre, you can readily assume it came from Israel, and therefore it's Vadai from Israel, and therefore we say that Demai has to be dealt with. Veha'orez, and the rice, that's not the white rice. Remember he said the white rice, we know for sure, but regular rice, ein choshel, we're not concerned, because that, let's say regular white rice that's right. Sold in Tyre, we're not assuming maybe some Israeli mix got mixed in there. No. Elokola orez anim tzachus orez, any rice that's found outside Israel, shikrov orez, even though it's close to Israel, the part shechziko l'bavel, the Jews who reclaim land from Bavel, even though we're close, we don't assume that that's there. Potter min admai, it's not chayv and tmai. Elam kenai nikra, unless it was recognizable as such white rice, which is so close, we would assume it came from Eretz Yisrael. Let's stop over here.